Good evening. I call to order this October 29th, 2024 meeting of the Blair Mayor and City Council. I am Mindy Rump, the Mayor of Blair, and I am pleased that you have joined us this evening. This is a public meeting, and you are a part of the process. I encourage you to participate, share your thoughts. I'd like you to be as comfortable as possible, and I'll try to do everything that I can to make sure that your voice is heard. We have several rules to help us proceed with the meeting, and I ask that you please keep them in mind. Please turn off your cell phones. If you need to take a call, step outside the chamber. When you wish to speak, simply raise your hand, and I will recognize you, and you can come forward to the podium. The City Clerk, Brenda Wheeler, must record who you are, so please state your name, spell your last name, and state your address. Keep your remarks brief, about 3 minutes, so that others have the opportunity to speak, and please direct your remarks to either me, City Council, or to City staff. A copy of the Open Meetings Act has been posted by both exits, and we will begin this evening with the roll call of members.
Schaefer?
Here.
Paulson?
Here.
Anderson?
Here.
Wolf?
Here.
Willis?
Here.
Samuels? Letcher?
Here.
Heifel?
Here.
All members present?
Thank you. If you would please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Item number four, approval of the minutes from October 22nd.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes from October 22nd, 2024. Please register your vote.
All members present voting aye.
Motion passes. And item number five, the main event. Mr. Green.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, council members. Good evening, audience members. Glad to have everyone out today. Today is not a normal council meeting. This is one of our fifth Tuesdays. And since the beginning of 2024, we've been taking every fifth Tuesday to have an opportunity to kind of talk about something different and do something a little bit unique here for the city of Blair. Do want to mention that as we get started tonight, and especially as Mr. Rathman starts going through his presentation, there is a packet of information, a PowerPoint and things like that that are up here. So if you don't happen to have a copy, anyone in the audience that would like to get one, feel free to come on up and grab one of those. There should be enough, and if not, we'll run and make some additional copies. So it might be beneficial for everyone to be able to receive one of those. So again, take you back over the last 6 months, back in April, and so on April 30th of this year, we spent some time that night talking about priority-based budgeting, and we took the opportunity to kind of let you know a little bit about the direction that we were hoping to be able to go in over the next couple of years to be able to hold ourselves more accountable to you and to the citizens of the community of Blair, and to let them know kind of what our priorities are. If you remember at that point in time, we talked about priority-driven budgeting is really all about transparency, and it's about decision-making, ultimately allowing you as the elected officials to make decisions based on the priorities for the community. There's a couple key requirements, though, that go along with that, and the first is to identify what our priorities are. And that calls for a strategic planning process, which is what we're here to do tonight. Back in July, we took some time then just kind of actually talk about our current budget. It will take us several years to kind of work through the whole process to really get to a point where we feel like we can sit down and present a priority-based budget to you and have some good conversations about those issues. That leads us to tonight, which is the beginning of a six-month process of strategic planning and developing priorities for the community. Now, once these priorities are established, one of the key things that we're going to have to continue to do after that is to be able to place some metrics along with those priorities. And that goes back to the programs and services that we're currently offering the citizens, what those things cost, and then we have the ability to be able to eventually benchmark those with other communities, or at least with our own established desires and priorities, and then be able to evaluate things going forward based on those criteria. So incrementally moving through this process, if you will, and the big one is what we're going to be starting tonight. So very, very excited. City of Blair has never done a project quite like this. We've never done a strategic plan, established mission statements, priorities that ultimately reflect your desires for the community, And then ultimately something that the departments can all take and then kind of begin to prioritize on the services that they provide. So very, very excited to see this get started. I'm pleased to be able to introduce to you tonight the man who's going to lead us through this process, and he is Dr. Steve Rathman. Now, during the daytime, when he's not Mr. Super priority-driven, you know, and strategic planning man, his daytime job is the chief of police for the city of Papillion. And so he's well acquainted with us. Plattsburgh. Sorry. I knew it was a P and I just kept right on going. Yes, the city of Plattsburgh. And the worst thing is, I know my extended family's all from there. Plattsburgh, the chief of police from Plattsburgh. So he's well acquainted with us, well acquainted with several of our staff members, and very, very excited to have him lead us through this process. So now that I've messed things totally up, Steve, why don't you come on up and introduce yourself and get started?
Thank you. Welcome, Dr. Rathman. Well, I was just filling the space for you to walk up.
Okay.
We don't have a band.
Well, this is the second time I've come before to speak with you about this project. The first was when you approved it, and you approved me to come in and help you with your strategic planning, and that's exactly what it's going to be. I'm going to be the one, I have the information, but it's going to be your strategic plan. It's not going to be my strategic plan. I'm not going to put my opinions in there. I'm not going to put Plattsmith in there. I'm not going to put anything. I'm going to get every piece of data that goes into your strategic plan will come from you here in Blair, either from the city council members or from the employees, department heads, and then whatever key stakeholders are identified for me to reach out to and interview so that I can collect the data, and then we can start to build the pillars of what your strategic plan stands for, and we can move forward. So I was asked just to put a little presentation together just kind of to kick this off in addition to what I've done up until this point. What I want to discuss with you tonight is discuss the benefits of the strategic planning process. This is not a new process, but it is for several government organizations. I've been in law enforcement for 33 years now, and not very many places that I go, and I've been able to travel the country being a law enforcement instructor and as a college professor. And paying attention to government agencies, not a lot of them take advantage of the strategic planning process, simply because we've always done it that way. What worked for us 25 years ago still works today. Well, I got news. What worked 25 years ago does not work today. What worked 5 years ago probably doesn't work anymore. So to keep Blair on the cutting edge so that you can make the changes that you need to make to remain relevant, you have to have some type of planning process so that you can make purposeful decisions. And that's, to me, what strategic planning is. The decisions you make are going to be on purpose instead of accidental or what you used to do. You invest in a new product, you invest in a new police cruiser, a new something for your roads department. It falls within that strategy you have for your organization. We're going to identify the strategic planning process just so council, you know exactly what you're undertaking. And then I briefly want to discuss the phases of what's going to happen over the next 6 months so that you're kind of aware of what's going on. Benefits, I have a doctorate and they drilled into me that everything I do, I have to find a scholarly reference to do it. So please don't, when I put that in there, that's just me fulfilling the requirements for Liberty University, because Liberty University, where I got my doctorate, they want their graduates to continue to learn and infect their communities. That's why you'll see the email address you get from me will be smrathman@liberty.edu, because they encourage their students to continue lifelong learning. And I'm learning as much from you as you will learn from me in this process. They did a study of 512 municipal organizations uncovering data that 44% of the surveyed municipalities had initiated formal citywide planning at some point within the last 5 years. So this was back in 19 years ago, 2005. I will tell you that this number is probably higher now. Not probably, it is, because I did my dissertation on the effect of strategic planning in municipal organizations. In 2005, you guys would have been in that 56% range. The next time this survey is done, if you are included in that, you will be in the 44% and probably even higher. And if you look at the percentages of what municipalities have used it for their organization, performance measures used to track strategic goals and objectives, budget tied to strategic priorities. And when I met with the city administrator and your leadership team, that was one of the things that was really driven home to me why you're undertaking this, is so that you can do a prioritization budget in how you do things. Fortunately, I used to work for the Grand Island Police Department. In 2008, when the Great Recession hit, we had a $4.5 million budget in the police department. The chief went to a city, to a staff meeting, he came back, we had a $2.8 million budget. So we had to learn to prioritize on the fly. And then when we did the budgeting, we created a prioritization process in order to meet the expectations to get in with the budget we were given. Strategic plan document produced, that's something we will discuss later on down the road. Right now, we're not going to worry about flashy documents. We're going to worry about collecting the data and then me doing a proper analysis and getting it put into a starter document that you're comfortable with so that we can continue to move forward. And then strategic planning completed or underway. I praise the city of Blair for undertaking this, because having taught strategic management, strategic planning since 2008, it is the way of the future. It's the way that you can have a competitive advantage over your organizations you're around. And you have this, a lot of the same similarities, thank you, as does the city of Plattsmouth. You're not the same, just similarities. We're on the south side of the metro, you're on the north side of the metro. But we have the same influence from the metro that you have when it comes to hiring, retaining people, bringing in economic development and that type of stuff. This will help you with that. Just a few more documents that came from my research. I'm not going to read these to you because I know you can read, but I want you to pay attention to the percentage on the right side. You'll see in here, your chief administrator strongly supports the goals, objectives, priorities established. 88%, that's almost 9 out of 10 communities that are using this document to establish their priorities. City Council considers strategic goals and objectives when reviewing the annual budget, 3/4 of the time. That's a huge number. Capital budget for your jurisdiction sharply reflects the goals, objectives, and priorities 84% of the time. So of these agencies, of these 225 agencies, you're looking at 75, 88, 75, 84, 84, 75, and then the bottom one, performance data tried to strategic goals and objectives, play an important role. That one is still above 50%. The problem with that is a lot of municipalities don't have the ability to collect, analyze, and then utilize the data that they have. So that's why that one is a little bit lower. Moving on to performance management systems to strategic plans. Individual department heads and managers are responsible for implementing specific initiatives 95% of the time. You establish your priorities, you establish what your city stands for, and then you hold your department heads responsible. When I took over in Plattsmouth, and it's still that way to this day, because of outside things that have happened, each department is running on its own. There is no overreaching city plan that's telling us how we have to do things. Now, the police department, we've had one for 11, 12 years, because I instituted this in the police department, and I'm going to do it for Plattsmouth. If people would quit calling me in to make me do more work, I would do it. No, I'm just joking. We have two huge projects going on in Plattsmouth. That would be, I would have to completely redo it afterwards, so I'm going to wait until we get a couple FEMA projects taken care of. But if you look at it, objectives established for department heads are either managers come from the overall strategic plan 83% of the time. We'll move down, the city council holds the chief administrator responsible for implementing the strategic plan 77% of the time. I don't know if Blair has this, I'm assuming probably not, if it's like Plattsmouth, but there are no metrics in place right now. You may have tried performance evaluation systems and stuff like that, but now you'll have a document, you'll have a plan that you can hold your department heads and your city administration accountable. The public can hold the city council accountable for what Blair stands for and the direction that you want to move in. And then the last one, the chief administrator tries to keep the city council focused on the strategic goal and objectives 88% of the time. So we're looking at these percentages, and these are not just halfway in between. These are very, very high percentages. When you do a proper strategic plan and you follow it, you will get the benefits that you're looking for. And then the last one, linking performance measures to strategic plans. Again, these are a little bit lower, but your jurisdiction uses performance measures to track implementation of the projects. Jurisdiction uses performance measures. It's just holding people accountable. In my department, we're going to discover some core values for the city of Blair, of what the city of Blair stands for. I don't know what those are. You've got to tell me what they are. That's why I'm doing this whole project. But my number one core value in my department is accountability. In everything we do, we're accountable to the citizens of Plattsmouth and the city council. I assume that I'm going to find something similar once we start breaking down the data here in Blair. What is strategic planning? I think I went over that, but just another brief review. It's part of the strategic management concept revolving around new organizational processes. It is much more inclusive than a strategic plan, and it's driven by mission, vision, purpose, and values. You hired me to do a strategic plan. Well, I'm giving you strategic management for free because that's the way that I think, and that's just the way that I operate. So everything that I do is going to have a purpose toward meeting the final goal of what you hired me for, to get you guys to that strategic plan. But we might even get you some increased efficiency in some of your areas that you do it by incorporating some strategic management principles along the way. We're specifically going to focus on creating a mission, vision, purpose, and an ideology. Those are your strategic pillars that you have within your city, and then we will develop some core values of what the city of Blair stands for. I can't tell you how many there will be. I've seen some places they have one. My department, we have five. I've seen other departments that have 9 or 10. To me, that's a little bit too many. We're probably going to initially focus in the area of 4 to 6, and then we'll whittle those down as you tell me that it needs to be. Public sector organizations have used the planning process in the past half century, focusing on strategic nature of the process since the 1980s. You know, my wife, bless her heart, married 29 years last Monday, and when I was putting this together, she's looking over my head, and she goes, I don't think putting the 80s in there is what you think it is. I go, why is that? She goes, well, the 80s to you happened like 2 years ago. That's almost 50 years ago. I go, get out of here. I'm working right now. But it's been in place in public organizations for a long time. We're just kind of slow at times to adopt what the private sector does, simply because there's times when we can't justify the fiscal dollars that we put into it. But we're getting to the point where we don't really have a choice. We have to do something to prioritize the services that we're providing, especially with some of the challenges that we have coming out on the outside, which we'll get into here in a little bit. We'll be identifying those for you too. Strategic planning is a systematic process of leading an organization by setting its future direction concerning its internal and external environment demands placed on an organization by its stakeholders. We are going to focus on your internal strategic plan to start with. That is the city of Blair. This is not a document for economic development. It can be used after we're completed. There's just some more steps that would have to go into that, but it's basically going to establish who the city of Blair is and what you stand for moving forward. We will identify some external stakeholders. I'll be reaching out to your leadership team to tell me who these people are so that I can reach out to them and then ask them the same questions that I'm going to be asking everybody else, so that there is an input from the outside, but mostly it's going to be an internal document starting off with. To succeed in strategic planning, an organization needs a strategy that maximizes the resource allocation to the plan with an overall intent to meet the goals established as part of the project. So instead of just saying, wow, gee, it sounds good, I mean, I saw in the news that Plattsmouth did this, maybe we should do it too. Well, maybe that's just completely against what you guys are moving towards. Or you saw that Waverly did this, and maybe that's completely different from what Waverly or Seward or Crete or other agencies or other government cities in similar size to what you guys have. Here's what it looks like. This is the strategic management process, starting with vision, mission, and objectives. That strategy falls in there. That's what we're going to be doing. But as we're doing that, we're going to hit on all of those other things. Like I told you, we'll throw some strategic management in there so that we can, and I'm not saying that your city is inefficient by no means. What I'm just saying is I'm going to throw some true and tried ways of doing things that will help you guys as you move forward. So once we get to the approach and the tactics, that's where the city comes in and takes it over from me, because I'm not going to tell you how to run your day-to-day operations. I'm going to show you what your people are saying and what you stand for. Then you have to come up with the approach and the tactics that you're going to use to move forward. Now, in my proposal, I said I'd be more willing to help you with that, but that's not what we're doing here over the next 6 months. Strategic planning. Several organizations operating in the public sector have recently adopted strategic management to reduce the gap between governmental commitments, budgetary restrictions, and the effectiveness of governmental operations. I went to the League of Municipalities conference the last year or the year before, I can't remember when it was, and I gave a presentation on this. And from there, I've been to Blair, I've been to Grand Island, I've been to Hastings, I've been to Utica, and then I've had a couple calls from people clear out west. And I said, well, I'll do a Zoom call, but I'm not driving clear out to the panhandle to talk to the city council. So there are agencies that see the need for this, and Blair is one of them that has taken it. And as I told Mr. Green in the meeting we had a couple days after I met with you, there three of them I told no to, and you guys are the only ones that I told yes, because I'm, as he said, I'm very, very busy in what I'm doing. But I believe in Blair. I've always liked Blair, except for when my kids played school sports and they beat us all the time. I didn't like the other ones then. But I've always liked this community, and to break it down, where I really started to like your community is the respect that I have for your chief of police. I've known him for many, many years, and if he's an example of what Blair is, you got a great city. So I just wanted to let you know that. In modern times, public organizations that are slow to modernize, adopt, and operate by strategic planning principles fail to experience the benefit of the time-tested process. Benefits include improvement decision-making. So your decision-making across the board in all your departments for your city council will have a purpose. Instead of having to argue something for hours upon end on some nights, the simple question is, does that meet the plan? And if the answer is yes, then we consider. If the answer is no, then we move on, because it doesn't meet what we're trying to get accomplished. Organizational effectiveness and increased community satisfaction. To me, as a public servant, that's probably the one that I like the most, is increasing my quality of life within my community so that the people living there have a great life living in Plasmouth or living in Blair. So we're going to help you with that. Municipal strategy. Strategy within a municipal organization must meet three broad tests. One, it's got to be legitimate and relevant. It's got to be relevant to your community. That's why you can't go on the internet and pull a strategic plan from someplace in Michigan and just say, hey, this looks good, and put it in place, because it's not legitimate and relevant to your community. Sustainable, directed at value creation. This is what you were talking about with your prioritization on your budget and everything that you do. It has to be sustainable. It has to create value within your organization. And it has to be administratively feasible. You have to have the people to lay out the plan and then move toward completing the plan. Successful strategic planning process relies on the commitment to an established strategy, enhanced degree of participation, and commitment from all involved. I met with your department heads on the 10th of October, and I will tell you, I walked away very impressed that to some places I go, the department heads haven't really bought into this. Oh, great, now they're going to tell me what to do. And no, that's not what I got from your department heads at all. They were on board with this. They're going to participate to the full so that we can get the best strategic plan for the city of Blair that we possibly can get. That's where the commitment from all involved come in. Here's a strategic plan framework, our why. That's the vision, mission, and values. I'll even throw in there the purpose and ideology of why you're here and how you're going to get things accomplished. Our what, that's the strategic goals and our focus areas. And then our how, objectives, action items, and performance measures. The how, that's where you guys are really going to come in, because I'm not going to tell you how to carry this out. That's where you come in, your department heads come in. But the why and the what, that's what we'll be working on over the next 6 months. Here's the phases of what it's going to look like tentatively. You know, things don't always work the way that they're supposed to work all the time. Phase one is preparation, define process, and determine who will be involved. That's where we're at right now. As we leave here, within the next couple days, I'll be sending out some emails to your department directors so they can start talking with the people that are in their departments. I will be sending out an email to the city council members and the city administration. For the city council members, I haven't decided if I'll drive up here to interview you, or I might just do it over a Zoom call with each of you individually so that we can talk and go that way. I'll decide that as we get going. But we're in the preparation phase. We're going to start phase two within the next couple of days. This is the analysis phase, but we got to collect the data first. Data will be collected and analyzed through interviews and completion of a SWOT analysis. Once I get everybody interviewed and your department heads get everybody in their departments interviewed, I will meet with the department head directors, and I'll discuss it with Mr. Green if he sees value in having it done with the city council. We'll do what's called a SWOT analysis: strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And based upon that SWOT analysis that we come up with, I'll do what's called a TOES matrix. And a TOES matrix is just taking the information in that SWOT analysis and putting it to where it makes sense for the city of Blair. And all of this will be provided to you when I get it done. Phase three, the development stage. This is the data is used to complete that TOES matrix that guides the development of strategic pillars, your purpose, ideology, mission, vision, and core values unique to Blair. I would say phase two, I hope to have done by the first of the year, because 50 employees, that's quite a few. No, you have more than 50. How many did you have?
It's between 65 and 70 now.
We'll say 70 employees. And then let's throw in a half dozen external stakeholders that I'm looking for, and then the city council. So we're looking at it probably 80 to 85 people that I want to get their input on. So that takes a little bit of time to do that. And then once we get that, then it takes me a little while to sit down and analyze that data.
Is there any way to get put at the front of the line in case you might not be around forever?
Funny you should say that. I was just about ready to say this. I was going to say that fortunately I got to get it done by July or January, because in early January I'm on the road teaching for a week, and in mid-February I'm on the road teaching for a week, and I really don't have anything to do in the evening, so I just take all my stuff, and that's when I do a lot of that, either my college work or this. And right now I don't think I have any classes scheduled. They come to me at the last minute and ask me if I'll teach the classes. You'll be one of my priorities. If it's not during the day, it'll be during the evening. Phase four, planning stage. Strategy becomes more defined by developing strategic goals and objectives. This is where we start to refine the document that I'm about ready to go over. And then stage five is the implementation stage. All action, relationships, and results must be visualized with a focus on consistency and relevance. And I'm assuming that we chose the next Tuesday. Well, no, we didn't choose the next Tuesday because nobody wanted to come here on New Year's Eve.
Yes.
I was perfectly fine with it. At the end of April, I believe it is,
April 30th.
I hope to have at least a preliminary document. If it's not completely done, it'll be pretty close. It'll be enough that I can report to you, and then we can start making tweaks. And I'll discuss it with Mr. Green, and maybe we might even want to do it that way so that I can get some more input in a forum like this to do it. I'll have it as close as I possibly can, but you can still make changes to it whenever you want to. So that's tentatively what I have in mind to move this project forward. Data collection, here's what you're going to get asked. I'm going to be asking some simple questions. Where are you? Where, and when I say you, I mean Blair. Where are you now? I need to understand your current state, starting position, where are you at right now? What do you do well? I'm trying to establish your mission, vision, ideology, and your values. So I need to know what you do well, what do you need to improve upon? And I'll probably phrase it something like that. Tell me three things you do well and two things you need to improve upon. Now, if you got 10 things you do well, I'm not going to cut you off. I'm just giving you a starting point. When I did this, I'll tell you from personal experience, I did it in Grand Island too. The first time I did it, I had trouble getting three things we did well, but I had no problem whatsoever with two things that we didn't do well. Because nothing was established, no proper direction was established. I'm not saying that's what will happen here, but I wouldn't be surprised if I see some tendencies down there, which is good, because we can easily fix that. What challenges are present? I already know a couple of them. Coming from a community similar demographically to Blair, I already know a few of them that are beyond your control, such as recruitment and retention issues, state legislature issues, property tax reform issues. Those are universal to the metro area, to the state of Nebraska. But I also want to know, what are your individual challenges as you see them as members of the city council? Doesn't mean it's going to make it into the document, but if I got seven people telling me the same thing, that's obviously a prevalent practice, and we need to address that in your strategic plan. What makes you unique? What makes Blair Blair? What makes you different? And what do you need to do more to move forward? Now, it's going to look a little different than this. I'll send you the document before I ask you the question. It'll look a little different than this. I just threw this into a PowerPoint form to give you an idea. And the questions I ask you will be identical to the ones that I ask everybody else. Truly respect city council members, but under this here, your opinion, I want your opinion to be the same, not the same. I want to give you everybody the same opportunity to give me their opinion on where we're going. Here's the document that I'm going to be working on. It'll look different like than when I get it done, but this is the starting point for me. When you look at it, the PEST factors, those are political, economic, educational, social, and technological challenges that you have, or the factors that are present in Blair that need to go into your strategic plan. Obviously, to the right, we've got the SWOT analysis, strength, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. This will come from my conversations. And then when I sit down with your department directors, the reason I want to sit down with them is because they're the ones talking to all your people that work in the city of Blair. And this is where I want their opinion on what they're hearing. Because I can talk to them and hear something, and it'll be completely different than if a department director hears the same thing, because they're aware of what's going on in Blair, and I'm really not, to the point that the department director would be. We're going to come up with some strategic initiatives and pillars. That's your mission, vision, ideology, and purpose. What challenges do you have moving forward? Operational core values, I talked about those already. Let's just go down right below where it says targets. Those are going to be your immediate goals in the 24-25 budget. The reason I just put 25, because by the time I get this document done, we'll be into 2025. So I just put 25. Then down at the bottom, you have KPIs, or key performance indicators. These are things that I will identify through the course of my conversations and the SWOT planning, and when I do a TOES matrix and all that. Then up above that, it's called BHAG. One of my favorite authors is a guy named Jim Collins. And in one of his books called Built to Last, he identifies long-term goals. He calls them big, hairy, audacious goals. This is something that, okay, you may never meet, but 5-10 years down the line, what would you like to have? What would you like Blair to be? We'll put that in there. Maybe we work towards it in the future, maybe we don't, but it's thinking long-term for the health of the city of Blair. So I'll be working on this, and like I said, when I put it together, it'll look completely different. But this is the document that drives me when I'm doing my data analysis. And once I get done with my data analysis, it won't look like this anymore. It'll have highlights and chicken scratching, and my handwriting's horrible anyway, so nobody's gonna be able to read it except for me. But I'll have it all ready to go so that I can put it into a formal star document that has information about the city of Blair, your mission, vision, ideology, purpose, your goals, the SWOT analysis that we did, your challenges that you're facing, and all that will then drive you into the next phase where you come up with your action plans and how you're going to carry this out. And that's where city administration will take that over from there, potentially with my involvement in that additionally. Are there any questions on this? This is not something you'll see again. I just gave it to you so you could see what's driving to me and what kind of information that I'm getting out of it. Now, when you sit there and you see political, there's two bullet points under there. I did that so I could get under one page. Ideally, I may have 25 things in that political realm or the economic realm. I may have 15 things in there. So don't just think that I'm going to listen to two of them and then stop. No, I'll get all of them in there. I just wanted to put one page up on the screen so that everybody could see the types of thing, data that I'm looking for, and then I'll start breaking it down to analyze it to put another document that's similar to this but not the same.
Steve, I've done all the stuff on the right-hand side and the half down for business a number of times. What is PEACE? Could you give some examples of what falls in each one of those little buckets?
Political, economic, educational, social, and technological.
Yeah, just give me an example of one thing that are political, right?
State legislature.
Okay.
Economic, tax reform. Educational, lack of post-secondary opportunities in Blair, because I know that Dana College a few years ago left, and I haven't dug enough into my data to see if
no Metro College.
Metro came in here to do that, because in Plattsmouth we're in Southeast Community College, and we've got a Southeast Community College satellite, and I didn't know if Blair had something like that. And if it does, that would fall under a strength in that SWOT analysis.
Right.
But that is an educational challenge that you have, because, and I can put educational and economic together, you want your high school students to have an opportunity to go to post-secondary school so that they stay in Blair and make a long-term impact on the city of Blair. Social, go ahead.
So, a quick question. So on the SWOT stuff, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats, obviously those are four categories to kind of break things down in. Is the pest factors kind of the same thing but categorized differently so you can think about them? I mean, you want both strengths and weaknesses, opportunities and threats?
The pest and the SWOT go into the TOES matrix.
Right.
And that TOES matrix will take the two data from both of those and kind of start breaking it down unique to what Blair is and to move us forward as we start to establish the goals that you have, the operational values, the key performance indicators that we're going to come up with. That's what that can be.
But and not to speak for him, but I mean, I think part of what Councilman Anderson is asking is it kind of the same things just in different categories?
No.
So you can think about them differently, or are they unique? They're not a strength. They're not a weakness.
They're unique. They may be in there, but your political factors that you have, you're not going to the strengths. The strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats are unique to what the city of Blair has. No legislature is going to do that. No economic development is going to do that. It's what do we do well now and as we move forward trying to establish that. So I have to understand what factors you have. What are your challenges as you move forward? If I were to say where those pest factors go on any other part of this document, you see in the middle box there it says challenges.
Yep.
That's where I would incorporate
so maybe
into there.
Phil, I guess if I'm thinking about this correctly, we had a lot of meetings a long time ago and we had one broadband provider in town.
Yeah.
That would have been under technological.
Yes.
Now we have four, which is probably a strength realistically, right? So
we could put that under there too. And is that a factor? Is that a technological factor? It could be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I can't say for so right now. The pest factors are more going to fall in line with what are the challenges in each one of those things.
Yep.
And if you think that having four broadbands is still a challenge, and I'm not saying it
no, it's not now. It was before. Okay. We had one. Yeah.
Yes. Social factors, that's where I would have to listen to what everybody, all the data that people are telling me as to what the social
like too many
are.
Grumpy old dudes in town?
Could be. Not enough sit-down restaurants for
yeah.
in the city of Blair.
Yeah.
That could be a social, and that could also be economic thing as we move forward.
I wasn't looking at you, Kevin.
Can you give us the acronym definition for TOES again, please?
TOES? TOES is a combination of, it's going to take the SWOT, the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So you'll look at your threats and opportunities and try to identify some commonalities between the two of them, the strengths and the weaknesses. So you'll combine the four of those together. So you, at one point, you're looking at your strengths and threats. You're looking at your weaknesses and opportunities. And when I look at your strengths and threats, what that tells me is how can I overcome those threats with the strengths that we have within the city of Blair. Now, obviously, when I come to weaknesses and threats, that's going to be a big red flag, because those two, that's the stuff that you don't do real well, and the threats go along with it. Those are some things we need to address to try to improve upon those. So there really isn't a TOES matrix is what it's called, and you're just taking the data that you get from your SWOT analysis and you're putting it into that so you can kind of identify some commonalities. And because you may have a strength and an opportunity that overcomes the weakness and threat that you have. And by not looking at it this way before, you didn't even realize you had that. So that's part of the process of the strategic plan. So this is just kind of what I'm looking for. And those 2030 goals, those are probably not realistic, but that's where you can have a little bit of fun in 5 years. But this is where we would like to be.
KPIs, are they typically internally tracked or external sources? I mean,
they're usually internal. What you do well, how you're tracking, what you do within, it's what indicators show we're meeting this strategic.
Yeah. When we have KPIs at work, it's something that has to be tracked, and we track it monthly, right? It's something that every month we review. And this, I was thinking that maybe census data would be something, a KPI for Blair, or sales tax year over year, or something like that. So you can see growth that, you know, because
great examples.
Okay.
Because in your, I've already done some research on Blair and put the first part together, and I've already got your population density over the last few years and some other things about the city of Blair. And when you sit down and try, another thing is a key performance indicator is your retention rate.
Okay.
Are people leaving employment with the city of Blair? If you have a very high retention rate, we've got a weakness someplace in our plan. So those are some of the things that we're talking about. And the difference between the private sector and the public sector usually doesn't have a metric in place to track that.
Yep.
So I don't know, usually software you can buy, but it's pretty expensive to do that. Or I don't know the complete functionality of all the employees in Blair right now. I'm going to learn a lot more, but that's, you got to have somebody to crunch that data. But census is great, sales tax revenue is great, property tax values is great, but then remember, we may have a challenge, who knows what the legislature is going to do, so it's a good time in order to do that. Does anybody else have any questions on this portion of it? And these are just, again, I was drilled into me, I got to put my references down. So I didn't just grab this stuff out of thin air. This is academically researched information and right in line. I probably should have put my dissertation in there too, but that's what the whole thing's being digital box. Council, do you have any other questions for me? Yes, sir.
Yeah, question. So our great chief is going to be retiring in the near future. So how do we develop this plan around him and his department, and we're going to have a new department head in there?
By the time he retires, the plan won't be in place yet. Because I was speaking with Joe before, and April 25th is where it is, and that'll be right around the time when we have the next meeting with the council members. And you'll just have to take that into account, unless you want to postpone it longer than that to get somebody new in here. But even when you do that, you're looking at probably a minimum of 3 years until the new chief comes in here and establishes the way they want it to go. So it would be nice to have something in place for that new chief so that the plan that they're making can be in line with the plan you have for your city. And okay, I'll take it back. Not nice, it'll be mandatory that the plan that they establish will be in line with what you have for the city. And I'm not saying the one that they have now is not. I think theirs is probably very similar to mine, to where we didn't have anything for the city, but we wanted some direction in the police department, so we did one for the police department. So,
And Kirk, I don't know if it helps, but we do this every 2 years, right, at work. So we have a book that gets printed out. Every employee gets one. When you sign in, you sign that you got the book, and you track the KPIs through the first year, you track them the second year, and about the middle of the second year, you're like, this is probably not right. We need to add something to it. So if you kind of get on that 2 year cycle where you update and you change what you're tracking and you check off the goals that you did, right? And then you might actually be surprised that you did get one of your big hairy ass goals done or got a lot closer to it, that it's now in the 2 year plan, right?
So I think it's audacious.
There is an A in there.
We're not talking animals.
Really? Yeah. I must have read a different book.
But you are correct. That's why people say, if they're just so off the wall, why are we identifying? Because you never know. You may do something that you accidentally get a lot closer to that than what you thought. So then when you revisit, you can now make that one of your next budget year goals instead of 5 years out. The other ones you look at and say, no, we haven't made any progress toward that. Let's continue to move those down.
But when we onboard folks, that was the key. When you onboard folks, you have a strategic plan. You can say, okay, you read the book through, you're reading the other department stuff, you're reading your stuff, but it's like, okay, well, what can I do to my little part of this plan to get to all these strategic goals? And it's uncomfortable. I hate SWOT stuff because I never know exactly which is one, a weakness or a threat. But, once you get it done a few times, it gets more comfortable it starts to point out the obvious problems when you get a coalition of those problems pointing in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. And it is a tried and true process.
Yep.
And I'm glad you said that, Mayor, Council Member, because it's hard for new people coming to work for your city to know what they're supposed to do when you don't have established what they're supposed to do. I mean, I can come and be a police officer and I can do that. But there's so much more in a community this size being a police officer than just the enforcement of laws. And to have that established really, really helps. One of the reasons that when I hire people, I've got a very, very good retention rate in Plattsmouth, and a lot of it is because of what we stand for and how we go about doing our job is our retention rate. Even in the metro area where I've got salaries going ungodly, I got hired. I think I went 5 years without losing anybody, and then I went another 5 years without losing anybody. Now, this last year, I had two people retire, and then one went to the airport authority, and then one went to Omaha. So I lost four. That was kind of unheard of for us. And when I looked at my plan to say, okay, what are we doing wrong here? The answer was nothing. I had two people that had worked for the city for over 25 years. One guy who went to the airport authority because the retirement system was better, and then one guy who went to Omaha because they passed that contract that they did, and he was looking towards the retirement. It was so much better, which teaches on. But we want to get you guys to the point where when you hire new people, they know exactly what you stand for and exactly what their role is with the city, so that they can move on to it, and then they're happy working here. And because you guys are one of my comparables with your police department in our contract negotiations, it's not from the lack of you guys being competitive with your salaries and stuff like that. And I'm not saying you have a problem. I'm saying we're going to identify, so when you hire new people, they know exactly what they're getting. Because I don't see anywhere you just raised your pay, I'm going to raise my pay, and then all of a sudden Omaha's going to raise their pay. Papillion and Bellevue are going to raise theirs. And really, the only people that are hurting are the taxpayers, because it's not sustainable. I don't see how long-term it is. But we got to have a plan for, instead of it hitting us smack dab in the face, then all of a sudden, well, gee, now what do we do? If you have a plan, that gives you the direction you want to go. Any other questions? Okay, please look for an email to me. Assistant City Administrator Barrow sent me a email with everybody's email address, Department of Directors and City Council, so I've been given a chore by my wife to rake the leaves tomorrow, so I don't know.
It's going to rain.
But I told you that I was married 29 years last week. I was on the road teaching last week, so I'm still
on the hook for the leaves.
So it might be Thursday before I get that stuff out to you. So it will be within the next 2 days.
And then we will, the email will have a deadline that we need to complete.
No, I'm gonna send it to you so you can see it, and then I will reach out. I want to talk with Mr. Green for his preference, whether or not I can do your interviews through Zoom, or if he would prefer me to come down and meet with you face to face. Now, I'm going to send it to the department directors, and they're going to start theirs, and the deadline for them to get everything back to me will be January 1st. But beginning of the year, that gives us plenty of time to do it, and we're not doing it haphazard or, oh God, we've got to get this done, so let's do 10 of them in one day, and then toward the end of the day, you're only getting half of what people are saying, so we can do this the right way. My father owned a construction company. He's 83 years old. He still owns a construction company for the last 60 years. And he taught me, if you're going to do something, you do it right. So let's do this the right way so we can get you guys the product that you want.
And then the department heads know what they need to do and how to collect information?
They'll get a separate email from me. And I spoke with them a couple of weeks ago about what I needed from their involvement.
Okay.
Yeah. And I will probably record a video for them, which has me talking so that they can see, not that they want to hear me talk, but that way, instead of just reading it in an email, they'll have, when I teach online, that's how I do it. I record my lectures and then I post them so that they can watch them as many times as they need.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm excited about this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
A couple other things I might add too, and since Steve, maybe you can kind of fill in if we, going forward, I guess, obviously we've got a questionnaire that's going to be done. I know we had talked about some citizens being involved and participating a little bit, so I'm going to introduce them. You can kind of talk a little bit maybe then about what they're going to be doing. But we were asked to kind of put together what we're calling our strategic vision committee. Four different individuals that the mayor has reached out to, and they've agreed to participate. Two of them are with us tonight, and so Manny Banner and Betsy Anderson are both here with us tonight. Greatly appreciate their involvement in so many things that go on in the city, and appreciate that. And then Jake Loftus and Terry Dutton are going to be involved as well. So again, this is the Strategic Vision Committee. Talk a little bit about that, if you could, and just kind of their role in it.
Their role will be very similar to your role. I'm going to ask them the same questions, but they're going to look at it. But when I ask follow-up questions of them, theirs is going to be more from an external stakeholder to the city than an internal stakeholder. So I can't tell you what I'm going to ask them yet, because I got to hear what they tell me first. And theirs will probably, tell them don't be surprised if they don't hear from me for a while, because I need to get the internal stuff going. So when they tell me something that's completely different than the internal stuff, I can ask follow-up questions to them and get the proper data and get their opinions instead of just going through the process. So they will probably be the last ones that I interview, and I'll get their email addresses and everything, and I will reach out to them and I will kind of explain their involvement in it. But they're going to get the same questions, but my follow-up questions will be different than what I ask of the council, and when we do our SWOT analysis with your department heads, there'll be different types of questions. And at that point in time, what I might do, I'd have to think about it, is I probably won't invite them to the SWOT analysis, but I will sit down with them and talk to them once I get the SWOT analysis going, and then get their input based upon what they see from that external. Because it's very vital that we get an external look on it, but the last thing we want is the public just saying, oh, well, they just did it themselves and they didn't even ask the public for this. Well, you need public input, because that's who you serve, that's who we serve. And their input is very valuable, because it may be completely different, and that'd be kind of nice for you as the council to know that this is the perception of the community right now on this item. I don't know what that would be. I'm just going to give them that opportunity in order to do that.
And just so you know, or so that we can help them know, and obviously you said it's going to be a little bit delayed after waiting for other information to come. Do you envision end of this year or first part of next year?
Probably in December, because I would think that I'll be getting some information back. I expanded it to January 1st, okay. But ideally I expect to start getting this stuff by the first part of December from your department heads, and I hope to have the city council done in the first part. You throw Thanksgiving in there, kind of messes things up a little bit, and then I've got another class that I'm teaching, and I'm teaching two classes of zone right now, so I'm trying to get everything in there. But I really want to talk to your council first before I interview them. So that's what November and the first part of December is going to be. So I would say mid-December is when I would be looking more for it. But you'll get some information from me on there. So, and I may even do a video for you guys too. So it's just so much easier to watch a video, and then if you forget, you can just watch the video again, and it has that information for you.
And I think Councilmember
Hickman. This is a follow-up that I forgot. So you want current city council with the election coming, some are coming on, some are going, you know, some will be coming on, some will be going on.
We'll know by then.
Okay.
We should know by next Tuesday, correct?
Right.
Okay, so I would leave that if there is a member of the city council who's stepping down or doesn't get elected. Hey, I'm not looking at anybody.
Oh, he is.
I still would probably include him because he's got a lot of historical information on Blair, and I think we would put him into that. I would just leave him into that city council category because he knows what council's been doing, so he thinks he's getting away from you guys. We're pulling, kind of like the Godfather Part 3, we're pulling right back in to get his input. I think that's a great thing. And then obviously your new council members, we want to get their input, but they're going to have limited input. They'll have input, but Mr. Anderson will have so much more because of his experience on the council. Plus, this will also help with your new council members because they get their opportunity to craft the future of Blair, which is why you joined the city council.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so again, Manny, Betsy, thank you very much for your involvement in this. So we look forward to that. And I guess the last thing that I would like to share with you tonight, and then we'll open up to any questions that you may have or questions from the audience. Obviously, a lot of this is going to be based on feedback that you are going to be providing to him, feedback that's going to be coming from city council or from the city staff members. My personal request to you is please be brutally honest, because we're not going to get any better if you don't. And so it really is dependent upon all of us sharing exactly how we see things. When you talk about things that you don't like, things that you frustrate you, be honest about it, please. You know, we're adults. We can handle these kinds of things. We're going to get better together as we work on these things, because that's the only way it's going to happen. And again, I am absolutely serious about wanting to put together specific criteria that you hold us as staff accountable to. That's the point of all this. And it helps us, it helps our department heads to know exactly what it is that's expected of them. It helps with the new employees then to know what's exactly expected of them. So for you, staff, pass this on to the rest of the employees as well. When they have the opportunity to talk about these things, again, be nice, but be brutally honest about all the details. So any questions that you have for me?
I think it's April 29th, is that special council on Tuesday?
The fifth Tuesday, okay, yes, 29th.
Can you tell us, if you don't do it now,
yeah,
just email when they're going to be in 25, the special council meetings.
Okay.
And then if you have an agenda form, and I assume they'll all start at 6?
Yeah, that's kind of been our pattern.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll do. Thank you.
Will this be our conversation for all of those fifth Tuesdays?
Not necessarily all of them.
Okay.
So the very next one we won't have, the next fifth Tuesday we won't have, which again is December 31st. So I'm not going to have one that night. And then the very first one in
in 25, I think, is April, right? So the fifth Tuesday in April. And so that will be the next time that we meet anyway for a fifth Tuesday. And the plan right now is not necessarily the total end, but pretty much the end wrap up of this process.
So then as far as meeting with us and our time commitment, that's really when you reach out via email, we answer questions that way.
It'll either be through a Zoom call, or if Mr. Green would prefer me to come down here, then I will email you and then we'll set up a time to come down, whether it's in the evening, whether it's on the weekend.
And I'll let you know right now, I don't have a preference. My preference is what's best for you, because you're all busy people. And some of you are very comfortable with Zoom meetings. You do it all the time at work. You're just used to that. So if you're comfortable with that, great, that's great. If you, though, feel at all like, I just don't really like those. I don't feel like I can open up as well. I can't have the dialogue that I want to be able to have. Just let us know that, and we'll coordinate the time.
We can have a combination of two. When I send my email to you, I'll just ask you to reply Zoom or in person, and you tell me the way you prefer to do it, and I'll make it happen.
So really the 6 months is more you putting stuff together, than the commitment to everybody else, that everyone else is making, other than...
It's less group get-together and more one-on-one with him, and the documentation that he's going to send you, taking some quality time to sit down ahead of time, think through some of those questions, be prepared for some good, honest, in-depth conversation with him. Again, clear, brutally honest. about the things that are going well and the things that aren't going well.
Councilmember Heifel, circling back to the fifth Tuesdays, we'll have the one in April, and then there's only three that we can probably have next year, and one in July will be budget.
Budget, probably.
And then it'll be September before we have another fifth Tuesday. Sure. So it'll be, and there's one on December 30th, but again, I don't know if we'll have that one or not.
They're precious little jewels, and when you know ahead of time that you've got a need to do something with them, then that really begins to limit what you can do. But again, I think obviously this is a multi-year process of moving forward on very big initiatives and very big items, which I think is really what Fifth Tuesday was really all about. And it's very, very difficult to have these kinds of conversations and presentations during a regular council meeting, because there's just so much regular work that needs to be done.
Thank you. Any comments from the public? Are you sure?
I can't argue.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
We have a motion, a second to adjourn. Please register your vote.
Sweet. There we go. All members present, aye.
Meeting adjourned. Thank you, everyone, for coming.